All right, so Twitter is a complete dumpster fire. There is all these hashtags, Twitter off, Twitter shut down, rip Twitter. They can just go through and scroll, and there are just people saying, this is my last tweet. It's the end of an era. This is it. Everything's going to die. I have no idea what that means. Everybody just saying that Twitter is going to be over. I've been seeing hundreds of tweets from all kinds of accounts, including tons of people I know on my timeline, talking about Twitter being over. But is it? Is it actually over? We're going to talk about that and what the hell is happening. We're going to do it. I'm Devin Nash. I'm the CEO of an agency called Novo. It's an ad agency. I know a lot about this. I'm thinking a lot about this. All right, so Rolling Stones actually produced an article. It is so hard to find good information on this. Rolling Stones produced an article that kind of gave a good timeline of what sort of is happening. We got to break through a lot of like the truth of what's actually happening. So Twitter offices shut down. That's why this all started out, right? So employees left in droves following an ultimatum from Musk on Wednesday, where he allegedly said, you have to commit to an extremely hardcore culture at the company and it involves long hours of high intensity or leave with severance, The Verge reported. I don't trust anything The Verge says right now because they just came out with a bunch of wrong stuff, notably claiming that Twitter security executives left the company as a result of some critical infrastructure failure, which ended up not being true. And they just had some random source. So it's really hard to find good media here. But what we do know is that there was some communication and a bunch of people resigned. Now, you might search Google and say, oh, Twitter is set to lose 75% of its remaining 3,700 workers after it lost 50% of those workers. And you might be like, oh, wow, with the Twitter offices closed and everybody leaving, and you can even go to some of these threads with these Twitter engineers who are posting up and saying, yeah, I'm out of here. We're gone. You might be kind of afraid for the future of Twitter. Here is the thread of employees that are leaving. And started here. And now this is every person just getting retweeted. So this is pretty extensive. But how many people are actually leaving Twitter? What is the truth? What are these news sites actually using as their source? Well, the only thing I could find was Reuters produced a survey where they went out and they asked people. And here's what they reported. So this is probably the truth of like how many people are actually leaving. Over 110 employees across at least four continents have announced their decision to leave in public posts reviewed by Reuters, though the resignations could not be independently verified. About 15 employees, many in ad sales, post their intention to stay. In Twitter's internal chat tool, over 500 people employees wrote farewell messages on Thursday, a source familiar with the note said. So we only really know of an independently verified 110 employees that are actually leaving. Maybe 500 said farewell messages. That could have been something like, hey, goodbye, have a great time, guys that are leaving. Right. And then again, a poll on the workplace app Wine, which verifies employees to their real work email addresses and allows them to share information anonymously, showed 42% of 180 respondents opting for taking exit option I'm free, the severance that was referred to by The Verge. So we know that a lot of people are leaving. We don't know how many. We don't know if it's 75%. We know it's over 100. And so as a result, apparently, what we were trying to figure out why the offices actually closed, there was a joke tweet from Alex Cohen that I actually believed for a while. I said, I was laid off from Twitter. I was in charge of the managing badge across Twitter offices. Elon called me and asked if you let me in. Elon responds with thank you somewhere. I said, okay, this guy's just been memeing the whole time. But it ended up this is actually a parody. And hey, thanks, Twitter. One of the cool things that they've implemented recently is this thing that's like, hey, this is a joke. This isn't real. So the context was important. So what actually happened was apparently they closed the offices because they're afraid of like employee sabotage or anger. And that is what the Rolling Stones article says. That is what we know to be as close to the issue as possible. And that is the situation as it stands. So that sparked the whole rich, like, hashtag rip Twitter, hashtag Twitter is over. And, like, legit, like, people are saying to me in my comment section, because I posted this thing on Twitter, okay? And I was like, look, like, if Twitter is actually going to go down, like, it's not. So I posted this thing here. I said, when Twitter is literally fine next week, I hope everyone remembers what a media grift this all was, because it really is. All this fear and all this fear-mongering, end of the world this, end of the world that. They're getting you to click on stuff, right? And, like, look, I do it too. Like, that's why the title of this video is the way it is. It's like, you know, I try to get people to watch my stuff, but I try to actually report accurate information. And granted, I have a ability to do that because I run an ad agency, so I know a lot of this stuff internally, but goddamn, can we get some like really good reporting here? It's so frustrating. It feels like every time I log into a social media app, it's the end of the world every day. So I posted, when Twitter is literally fine next week, I hope everyone remembers what a media grift this all was. And if it's not, the whole thing kabooms. At least there's no record that I said this, right? But no, I really believe that Twitter is going to be absolutely fine. I do think they have some long-term problems that I want to talk about in the context of this video. So let's talk about some of those problems, because I think they're really interesting. The first one I want to talk about is debt. And this is the one that I'm actually worried about, and I'm going to explain it in a really quick way that you can tell your friends that will just kind of explain what Twitter's actual problem is. And to be clear, I think this is kind of their only actual problem. We're going to go over all the structural engineering stuff and all that stuff. I don't think is an actual issue. Twitter's shutting down because there's nobody working there or whatever. Okay, we'll go through all that. So this is a great thread by Christopher Bloomstrand, who takes all the public data on Twitter, and he basically shows a full readout of what's happening. And that's a lot of stuff to read, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to summarize some of the critical stuff. The real problem with Twitter is debt, okay? And it's debt to banks. So we got to understand how Twitter was acquired, right? So Elon bought Twitter, but how did he buy it? Well, right now, on the books, Twitter has, okay, $20 billion in debt, $6 billion in cash, and $5 billion in revenue. They make $5 billion in revenue a year, okay? Out of that debt, $13 billion is to banks. So that's from banks that Elon himself is $26 billion plus 9.6%. If the numbers don't add up, it's because remember he acquired the company for $44 billion. So what the debt is on the books is a little bit different from the debt that actually, the amount that was actually acquired. And that's really important, but we can't go over, we don't have time. $5.2 billion is Larry Ellison and Friends private equity investment. Okay. And that's the breakdown of the debt and how the deal got done. So the problem is not Elon's $26 billion. It's not $5.2 billion from Larry Ellison and Friends. It's actually the $13 billion from the banks. That's scary. And some of the debt that's on the books now is going to be bank debt. And some people think that a large amount of the debt is bank debt. And you can see here Christopher's theory for doing that, for thinking that, right, is that from the start, new Twitter begins a private life for net debt at 2.7 times revenue, not EBITDA, earnings before interest, taxes, et cetera, which at some, the multiple of EBITDA is on the high side. So it's a little bit scary because with the Federal Reserve raising interest rates, the fear is that the amount of money that Twitter actually makes, 90% of from ads, is not going to be able to cover the payment that the payment terms that the bank wants. That is the real danger, and the only danger of Twitter failing over time is debt. Basically, what happens is the banks run the company dry. The company has less revenue and less revenue and less revenue available in order for it to keep its services running, hire, innovate, fix its ad problems, and so the company fails. That's basically it's kind of like the long late stage capitalism idea of why a company dies is just it gets kind of overridden in its expenses and what it owes to lenders, and then it can't get itself back up because Twitter has to find a way to be profitable. And since 90% of their money comes from ad revenue, they have to figure out how to make Twitter Blue actually enough people pay $8 to actually go out and justify buying Twitter Blue and providing some kind of monthly recurring revenue. It's hard, really hard to and simultaneously they have to not piss off advertisers. We're going to talk about it in a second, which is the second really big threat. We'll talk about that here. But as long as you understand the debt, you have to understand that Twitter has to find a way to become profitable. Now, I'm going to note that I don't think this was Elon's problem exclusively. I think this was also Parag's problem. And before that, it was also Dorsey's problem that these guys had to figure out a way to get Twitter profitable. And it wasn't. It isn't. So this has been a problem in all of Twitter's history. It's just sort of something that Elon has inherited that he has to fix. And is he going to fix it? I don't know. But the debt problem is a little bit scary. And that's really the big thing. Let's go into some of the other stuff. So the other second big problem, and that's the thing I want to talk about that I know the most about, which is ads. And so I was the head of trust and safety at Twitter, and this is what could become of it. This is a great article by Yoel, who I also referenced when everybody was talking about the hate speech going up on Twitter and everything. Everybody was oh my God, this is going to be a huge platform like Parler or Rumble or whatever, where everybody is just talking about everybody's saying racist stuff. And no, right? So Yoel posted these tweets and he said, There's no evidence of this, right? There's no increase in impressions. Well, there's an increase. Yeah, that's right. There's no increase in impressions. There's an increase in number of botted accounts that are making hate tweets, but nobody sees them. And he posted a bunch of data about that we have in our former video, What Is Really Happening to Twitter, which came out before this one, if you want to watch that. There's an hour on, like, everything, a bunch of, like, truth and untrue stuff if you're really interested in the deep dive on Twitter. So this is a great article because it really talks about, we're going to highlight some of the things in this article. Advertisers play the most direct role thus far in moderating Mr. Musk's free speech ambitions. As much as 90% of the company's revenue comes from ads, Twitter has little choice but to operate in a way that won't imperil the revenue streams that keep the lights on. This has already proved to be challenging. So a lot of people talk about this supposed idea that Elon wants to create a total free speech platform where anyone can say anything they want. This is not anything. Elon Musk has never said this, okay? So this whole idea has come on that Elon wants to, like, invite back all of these, like, banned hateful accounts, that you're going to, like, regularly see racism and hate speech on your timeline. And I will guarantee you, I will personally guarantee you that you will never see that. Not because I'm an Elon fan. I was not a fan of Tesla when it was coming up. He proved me wrong on that, though. But I've not historically been that big of an Elon fan, which is kind of crazy now because I'm really defending a lot of his points. I just do not think that is possible from an ad standpoint. If you understand the ad world like I do, and you run millions of dollars in ads, you know how much ads control everything. And I mean everything. Ads control everything. So this is part of the reason why Twitter is actually doing so much better than people think it is, okay? Like, people think that Twitter is, like, dying everything. It's the opposite. Twitter has record numbers of users. Record numbers of users are logging in to see if Twitter is dead, ironically making it more alive than ever. So why does that make sense? When a person sees an ad, the ad impression that is made that then pays out that ad, that pays out that advertiser, that pays out Twitter, right? Paid by the advertiser, paid by Twitter. The impression doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. It just matters that it was viewed. So the more views that come into something, the more ads that get run, the more money Twitter makes, on and on and on. So this is doing a huge, this is doing amazing for Twitter. And what Yul talks about here is something that I'm very familiar with and I totally agree with, which is that when it comes to content moderation, much has stayed the same since Mr. Musk's acquisition. Twitter rules continue to ban a wide range of waffle but awful speech. He's insisted publicly that company practices and policies are unchanged. Are we just in the early days, or has the self-declared free speech had a change of heart? I wonder what this link actually goes to. It goes to a link from The Guardian, so nothing that Elon probably ever said. But the truth is that even Elon Musk's brand of radical transformation has unavoidable limits. We talked about as 90%. So almost immediately, a wave of racist and anti-Semitic trolling emerged on Twitter. Wary marketers, including those of General Mills, Audi, and Pfizer, slowed down their pause ad spending. This is really the agencies behind those that did that. It wasn't these brands. It was us. Not us for those companies, but, like, people like us. We also paused our ads for our vendors. Mr. Musk empowered my team to move more aggressively to remove hate speech from the platform, and it worked. Before my departure, I shared data about, that was the data I was talking about, which is a really good post. We'll just pull that up real quick. That was showing that basically the hate speech from the increased bot accounts just didn't work. It just didn't actually get out to anybody. I mean, it was there because 1,500 people, well, 1,500 bots appeared, and they created accounts that just spammed racist hate speech stuff, and Yul's algorithms and everybody caught it and they removed it. And he even says here, by some measures, Twitter was actually safer under Mr. Musk than it had been before. Pretty nuts, right? So let's talk about, like, how ads work with marketing, right? We're going to pause our ads, of course, because we're nervous about a platform changing to the degree that it has. But my argument for, so people think, like, my argument, I'm not basing my argument on, like, Elon's, whatever Elon said or didn't say about, like, free speech or whatever. I'm basing my argument on a very simple fact that Twitter can't function, okay? So we'll just drop this stuff. But Twitter can't function unless advertisers say it can. And this is the same problem that platforms like Mastodon and platforms like Parler and platforms like Rumble have and will always have. The advertisers don't support those platforms because those platforms can actually say whatever they want. So if you logged on to Twitter and you saw tons of racist hate speech that wasn't suppressed, and let's just give all the credence to all the haters, right? I don't even call it haters. The people that believe that, because that's the unfair and shows a bias. I don't want to do that, even though I just did it. But I'll leave it in the video so that you see that I'm trying to correct myself. Let's say that all the people that say that Elon is totally going to open up the platform to everybody are correct, okay? And let's just say that plays out. What'll happen is you'll start seeing hate speech on your platform, and people will start talking about it, and it will start becoming like trending hashtags, and then we'll see it, right? Agencies, advertisers, Pfizer, Big 500, those people, okay? People that run the ads. And then we'll say, well, we're pulling those immediately, because I can't tell you how many hundreds of phone calls I've had over the years of people that said, some marketing manager at a brand that is like, no, that's too violent. That's too this, that's too that. Like, brand safety is still a very real issue in 2022. No matter how you feel about it, it's a huge issue. And people are, brands are extremely sensitive to their constituents. And I used to think that this was like kind of easing off, but then I realized it was just because I was working in areas at the time, like Web3, and where like this was like more accepted. And now I realize, like, now I'm doing notes. Now we're in the recession. Web3 is temporarily, I think, gone. I'm working with a lot more traditional brands, and like the brand safety stuff is just exactly the same. Like, it's just people are very concerned about things that are violent, things that are over-sexualized, whatever. So as soon as that stuff starts appearing, everybody's going to pull their ads. And that 90% of revenue that comes from ads is gone, and Twitter sinks. That's it, right? If the advertisers pull out of Twitter, Twitter sinks. Just like if the advertisers pull out of YouTube, if they pull out of Twitch, any platform is completely dependent on ads. That's just how the whole internet is monetized on a CPM basis. Everything. Sponsors, ads. Influencer marketing, ads. My whole business is ads. That's all I do, right? I either run ads for brands or I do influencer marketing and I take care of creators. That's it. Like, and I'm having creators do ads, basically. They're just better ads than other agencies, I think. So the takeaway here is I don't care what Elon says. I don't care if Elon says or even thinks. I don't think he thinks that, because I've been very clear in my other videos. I've shown his quotes, and I haven't seen anything where he says we're going to allow hate speech back on the platform, or we're going to allow these like terrible actors back on the platform. I haven't seen anything like that. But I don't care what he says. What I care about is that Twitter can't function unless advertisers say it can. And as a result of that, and this is kind of what Yul talks about in this article, if you want to read the whole thing, you can't get away from it. So there's no way, even if he monetizes and Twitter Blue pays for like the revenue of it would have to have 50% user adoption of the 430 million users on the platform. So like 50 million users, $8 a month to actually make those numbers work. There's no way that's going to happen. So I just don't think that this is ever going to be a platform where like hate speech reigns supreme. And I also don't think that's Elon's goal, just like for what it's worth. But even if it was his goal, he can't make it happen because the business would literally fail. There's no way. Which is why, by the way, Parler, Mastodon, Rumble, those people have not succeeded and will not succeed because advertisers won't go there. So the companies will never become profitable. So what the hell is Elon's goal for the platform? Well, he actually just released like this really important tweet, I think, and I'm glad that I made this video when I did, because this is really the first policy-related tweet that he released, and we're going to read it. So new Twitter policy is freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Negative hate tweets will be max deboosted and demonetized. There's no ads or other revenue to Twitter. You won't find the tweet unless you specifically seek it out, which is no different from the rest of the internet. And then simultaneously said, Kathy Griffin, Jordan Peterson, and Babylon Bee have been reinstated, but the Trump decision has not yet been made. Note that this policy applies to individual tweets and not the whole account. Okay, there's going to be a lot of feelings on this one. I'm not going to even touch this part of the tweet, okay? I don't have enough political clout, and I don't care. I'm a marketer. I better stay in my lane. Okay, I got too close on the last couple of videos, and people got mad. So we're just gonna stick up. We're gonna go up here. Push that over there. Oh, okay. You guys can go find it out in the comment section if you think that that's good or not. I don't know. All right. So what about this? All right. A lot of people are gonna be really upset about this. And the number one thing you're gonna see right away is people like this. So who decides what is a negative and hate tweet? Okay. And then you're gonna see other people that are like, oh, the billionaire gets to decide what gets suppressed. Negative tweets is defined by a right-wing billionaire are going to be throttled. No, it's so. Let's answer this. This account's like hilarious, by the way. Let's answer Liquidity's question. Who decides what is a negative hate tweet? This guy thinks it's Elon. It ain't Elon. It's advertisers. It's advertisers decide what a negative hate tweet is across everything that they sponsor. Advertisers decide. If advertisers don't like it, they tell the platform, and the platform goes, whoops, sorry, we won't show you any of that stuff again, okay? Because if I'm buying jewelry from Tiffany's, and then right next to it, I see some crazy hate speech, and Tiffany's paid I don't know, $1.5 million that quarter for that ad run, Tiffany's marketing guy is going to, or girl, is going to call up Twitter, and no one's going to answer the phone because no one works there. But if someone's going to eventually get the message and then be like, oh, shit, okay, we got to drop that. And then that's never going to appear again, okay? So all these people that are like, well, the negative tweets because Elon gets to decide. Elon is one guy with 24 hours in a day running Tesla, SpaceX, and now Twitter. He doesn't have time to go through and individually, like, the idea that this crazy billionaire is just randomly going through and deciding that's a negative tweet and that's not. It's obviously insane. Like, we don't actually believe this, right? You need teams for that. You need content moderation teams. And Elon has said that he is building a content moderation team, right? Elon content moderation team. Moderation team. Elon fires more staff. Okay. Elon says Twitter will form a content moderation council. It's one of the first things that he said, okay, from TechCrunch. Twitter will be forming a content moderation council with widely diverse viewpoints. No major content decisions or account reinstatements will happen before the council convenes. So is the council here now? Because I guess I would consider those major reinstatements. Uh-oh. Did we find a hole in the matrix? That's not good. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he hasn't got the council going, but so he's reinstated these people already. Who knows, right? We don't know. But anyway, so what does this mean and why is this important? Ads determine if stuff gets negative, hate tweeted, and max deboosted, demonetized, etc. Okay? So ads are going to determine most of the stuff that you would consider offensive, or you would consider the stuff that you don't want on Twitter. Even people that are watching this video that have very sensible attitudes, personalities, like viewpoints. Basically, like, you don't want to see anything that, like, maybe even, like, your kids wouldn't want to see. That you're going to see. but like, very sensitive, like, hate speech towards certain groups or marginalized groups or things like that, that's not going to happen. That's the stuff that advertisers are going to pull immediately. There's almost no advertisers that are okay with that stuff. And there's, by the way, there shouldn't really be any advertisers that are okay with that stuff. Like, I actually kind of like that it works this way. That's why I work in the industry I do. I like that advertisers hold people accountable and have to, because their constituents are customers and their customers hold them accountable. So in a way, it's this whole kind of messed up system that works. And Elon is in the system. He can't break the system. Doesn't matter if it's a private company or whatever. He's got to still be profitable. Okay. And then the second part, I think a lot of people are going to jump on or just say negative hate tweets will be maxed to boosted and demonetized. They're going to say, wow, they're still there. Okay. But if a tree falls in the forest and doesn't make a sound, does anybody see it? Or anybody care, right? Well, social media platforms don't think so. It's the same way it works on YouTube, same way it works on Facebook. The reality is you cannot stop racist speech. You cannot stop hate speech. It is a societal epidemic and problem. They will always be there. So the best thing algorithms can do is basically make it so none of that stuff is seen. Now, there are going to be problems because YouTube already spent $8 billion trying to do this. Building it, and now they're really good at it, where, like, you'll almost never see this stuff unless you're specifically looking for it. But Twitter's got to go through that whole kind of painful process. And they've got some algorithms, clearly, that already help them, to Yoel's point. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard for them to, like, do it. They're going to mess up. So sometimes there's going to be hate tweets that are going to appear. They're going to have to drop those. But this idea that Elon is creating this, like, super right-wing platform where everybody can just say, like, really, like, racist stuff, I just don't buy that. Again, it doesn't work for the advertisers, and it doesn't make any sense. So what we're likely to see here is that, and by the way, this isn't also like a real change. This is just like Twitter was already like this, right? Like this platform before Elon came on, there was tons of like hate speech and negative stuff. You just never saw it. And that will be the same way that it is. So reinstating these major accounts and the things that could really make a difference, I think, like reinstating Trump is a massive difference. And again, I don't want to be political, so it sucks that I've actually, over the last couple of days, had like so many negative comments to me because like people think I'm political. I'm just trying to talk about marketing. I'm trying to talk about attention. I don't care. But like Trump will have a major impact on the platform, and no matter how you feel, reinstating him, I think it's a major decision. To some extent, reinstating these three people was a pretty major decision. So I'll leave that to people to talk about. But the bottom line is that if any of these three people and Trump go against advertisers, I don't think any of them are more powerful than advertisers. I don't think it matters. Advertisers are insanely powerful. They run the platform. Okay. So I think those are kind of the two existential threats to Twitter, is like the debt and the advertising policy. And Elon is going to understand the advertising policy. He already understands it. The very first post that he ever made was to advertisers and saying, hey, guys, we're committed to a safe platform for you. Don't worry. Acquisition is going to go fine. Everything's cool. He did that right away, okay? Because Elon is very conscious of the amount of revenue that is coming from ads. A lot of people are like, this guy's just like a dumb billionaire. He's like, doesn't understand what he's doing. Again, I'm not an Elon apologist. It's like people that knew me from like 2-3 years ago on Twitch when I had like entire rant sessions for hours about Tesla. I just could not imagine how it would succeed in the EV market. Would not believe that I'm sitting here defending him, but I'm defending what I really do think that there is like so much of a concentrated media effort on making Twitter look horrible, whether it be from the layoffs perspective or like Elon as an individual. I still believe that Elon acquired Twitter with the objective of creating a place where open discussion can be done. And I'm going to, if you take away any of my actual personal feelings on this, I'm going to share them with you right now, okay? I think that I'm an American for people that are watching. We are in like the worst place we have ever been as a country. Not ever been. There was a civil war. Okay, we're in the ways since I've been alive. It's probably pretty bad back then. Okay, since I've been alive, we've been more divided, and I am extremely concerned about the polarization of issues. By which I mean, the inability for two people to come together with empathy and talk about issues as humans is really concerning to me. I feel like we are so labeled and we are so like set up in our identity that like you have to take this side and you can't argue against the other side at all. And you get stuck in this group of people that is now defending something. And that group is almost like a river that takes you down its belief system. And then you might not even believe the things that the river has taken you to, but you have to, because if you don't, your own group turns against you. This is a really dangerous state of affairs that's leading to a lot of extremism in America on both sides. And I am concerned about it. I don't like the division. And I think the answer is with empathy, you have to be able to sit down with other human beings and have conversations about difficult issues, about human issues, about social issues, about all the stuff that we're concerned about. You have to hear out both sides. And if you want to hear out both sides, that means you have to platform both sides. But you have to platform them in a way that isn't, again, so when I said with empathy, that is really important. Hate speech isn't empathy. Hate stuff isn't empathy. Racism is not empathy. It's not empathetic to your fellow human. It's not equal. That's not good. That we don't need none of that. And we'll make sure that none of that appears because the advertisers control everything again, okay? But empathy is something we are sorely missing with each other. And I don't mind platforming an idea that I don't agree with. But we need to be able to discuss that idea with empirical evidence, with science, with progress, and believe each other that our intent as human beings is mostly good. And I think that Elon understands that. And if you don't believe me, I put a lot of references in my previous video as to why. And so I think he's trying to create an open town square where that discussion, again, that human discussion with empathy without racism and hate can happen. And I think that's super duper important. And I think it's so important that even if Elon it doesn't succeed at that, like the very effort of it is super, super important because on every other platform, we're just drawing sides. So I don't know if he'll succeed, but I'm a huge fan of that because I'm worried about the state of things. I also think that Twitter is a real important news source and getting news from what people have been calling citizen journalism is really important because there are so many grifters in the media now, on the left and the right, that will post articles that are just outright wrong, that just don't report on something correctly. I mean, like even remotely correctly. And it's because they understand that to get the clicks and to get the fear, right, that to get the attention, again, everything runs off ads, to get the ad revenue, they need to scare you. They need to put you in a perpetual cycle of like fear. So you continuously click and consume this stuff. And it sucks, but that's the reality of things. it's a negative part of kind of what we do. So I do think that Twitter is a source for news in real time, and that that is super important, and that no other platform can really do that reliably without a bias, because we are the people that are reporting the news. Cool. Where are we at in the video? Yeah, it's time for the seeker call. 30 minutes, 30.08, 30.10. Hey, you're here. You're still listening to a Devin Nash video. Post a secret "I'm listening to a Devin Nash video" comment in the 30 minutes if you're still here, the Seeker Call Out Club. And hey, there's a couple ways to support me if you'd like this kind of information. The main way is Patreon. Patreon is my basic like platform that I kind of live on. Dude, I'm just going to shout it out real quick because my Patreon is insane. I have like 90 videos. Join about 600 people here. Can I like show you this? Is there anything on here? I don't know. Who cares? Yeah, join about 600 people on here. That this is a video about health. There you'll see brand and career, everything you know about Twitter. It's just going on for this is just like directly related to people in marketing business world. So how to create the perfect pitch, unconventional techniques to get a dream job or win a conversation. By the way, these are all like 35, 40 minute videos. There's 85 of these. $5 gets you access to all of them. That's it. So if you might maybe just want to support the channel, toss me $5, or you want to actually get real information about how to run a business from a guy who runs a business and run several businesses, sold a couple businesses. I'm doing the work there and I'm putting it in and it's really good information. You can also go to the Discord, discord.gg/Devin, where we have live conversations about stuff like Twitter all the time, 24/7. Patreon, Discord, the links are down in the description down below. I would really appreciate it if you did one of those things. If you join the Discord for free, that's totally fine. Or just go on to Patreon, $5 gets you in, and it's honestly like really good value. Like if you don't like it, you can email me. I'll give you back your $5. That'll actually happen. You can email me. All right, cool. So let's keep going. What did we miss? Man, what a crazy world this is right now. Dude, I just want to talk about the Elon memes for a minute. Can I do that? All right, AOC, shout out to all the workers at Twitter. We appreciate you. Elon Musk to AOC, you're welcome. The classic one, I think one of my favorites, where is it here? Elon, this guy. So why? Like, why is he doing this? Like, people are just like, this is so disrespectful. It's just so, Elon understands the game. Right? Like, you saw it, and it's, he betrays himself, right? He goes out of character, right? We just hit another all-time high in Twitter usage, LOL, let that sink in. Elon understands outrage marketing, and if you want to understand anything in this world, you got to understand outrage marketing. Elon is so good at getting a rise out of people, and the more rise you get out of people, the more impressions you get, the more the more attention you get, the more ad revenue you get, the more stuff you get. There have been many people that have used social media in recent history to literally change the world because they understand this concept. Elon is really good at pissing people off, and he's really good at just like memeing on people and making extremes. And the reality is, like, if there's any reason that Twitter is going to succeed, it's because Elon is going to know you will never shut up about it. Like, he will just continuously do these outrageous things that a billionaire is going to do, and everybody will talk about it, and then bam, impressions go back up, logins increase, ad revenue. The only way to kill something is to not talk about it. Nobody can not talk about Elon and Twitter. It's the news of the day, and so this is going to keep going. It just doesn't matter. You know, and I want to talk about the layoff situation real quick, because again, like at the beginning of the video, we showed like it's kind of hard to figure out how many layoffs are actually happening. It's a lot of people think that Twitter might actually fail just as a result of its engineering failing, right? I don't think this is going to happen. And there's some people that could, if you're an SDE or you're like an SRE or something, maybe you could tell me if I'm wrong. But I don't think that there's any critical infrastructure within Twitter that actually results in the whole platform exploding. Wonder if I had something about this. Yul talks about it a little bit. Somewhere in here is probably an infrastructure tweet or something. I'll just talk about it, I guess. But people are worried that the infrastructure of Twitter is going to like drop. I guess we will Twitter skeleton crew. See if we can find anything there. Okay, we didn't find anything. Engineering. Oh God. Staffers have called out hardcore. Even the skeleton crew has jumped ship. What I read was that there is basically, Twitter is now running with a skeleton. Here we go, Washington Post. Now running with a skeleton crew. Half the company was let go, allegedly, right? We don't know. Hundreds more left on Twitter. Extremely hardcore conditions in 3 months. So it's unclear how many of Twitter's originally 7th. Good for Washington Post to actually admit this. It is unclear, but a reporter from Fortune's Weave is 75% had quit. Well, according to The Verge, about 2,900 staff. They don't know. They have no idea. Many staff saluted their way out the door. So, and then Musk basically called in a bunch of engineers trying to figure out how the platform works. So the bottom line is, are there enough engineers for the platform to actually physically work? I think we could kind of drop the fear-mongering around this, because there are plenty of people that want to work at Twitter. But I mean, think about it. Twitter is probably one of the most interesting places to work right now, right? Now, you might say, well, okay, you got to work hard, because what about like the crazy, like you're going to have to spend 50 or 60 hours in the office? Like, look, I'm going to betray a little bit of my personal bias here. I like recessions because they kind of show what the real people. It's time to grind, you know? I don't like that, like, God, Twitter was what, talk to anybody in the Silicon Valley space. You can look at the YouTube comments. People will confirm this. Twitter was like the place where engineers go to die. You literally go there, and there are teams that would work hard there, of course, but you would go there and you'd sit on a laptop on the roof. You would go to your 5-star restaurants. You would make $300K a year. You would work like 1.5 to 4 or 5 hours a day. Those days are over, man. I don't like the idea of like people getting paid $300K, $400K to just sit around and do nothing. Now, that's coming from a business owner, so you gotta take it with a grain of salt. But like, man, people should work for what they're going for. And by the way, you're like, oh, are you like a slave driver? Dude, like my requirements for my employees: work 6 hours a day, or up to 6 hours a day, excuse me, and complete your KPI. So we come together, we have phone call. What do you want to do? Okay, I want to do this. All right, cool. What's the timeline? All right, 6 hours a day to get there. I have had to tell my employees at CLG, stop working. You're working too much. Take days off. Go see your family, whatever. I don't like this culture that Twitter built, and Silicon Valley, frankly, built, and Twitch has a huge problem with also, this family culture of living at work, where basically like 15, 16 hours of your day is like sitting in the office, but you're not really doing anything. You're not actually working. So I believe in dedicated hard work. Work 4 hours, work 6 hours, get out, go spend time with your family, play video games, right? Like do something else, like go do a hobby, whatever. It's like this live at work culture is so toxic. It sucks. People should be in the office for the amount of time that they need to get their stuff done, leave. That's it, right? So I actually kind of like the idea that we're moving back towards a more KPI-focused system, key performance indicators, like what you actually get done. And I don't think that's going to result necessarily. I mean, I think people are going to have to work harder. I don't think it necessarily results in longer hours. But I do think that is a contagion within Silicon Valley that needs to be addressed, because people were not working. And that is what recessions reveal. It reveals people that are not going to work very hard. So I think that's good. I'm not an SDE, so I'm not going to comment on like, but I just think that the likelihood that the platform goes down and dies in, I don't know, you know, what everybody's saying, where they literally like, can you see like people are like, oh, they're joking. No, there were hundreds of tweets. They're like, this is my last tweet. Like, this is it. Elon ruined the platform. Come on, guys. Right? Like, this is not going to happen. Even if there is outages, then they're going to figure it out. They're going to go through, they're going to understand the tech stack, and they're going to, what, there's been several groups of engineers who have like pledged to go help. There's tons of options. Twitter's not going anywhere anytime soon. And as a content creator and as a marketer, you do wise to pay attention to Twitter, because that's where everybody's attention is. So right now, man, if I want to be anywhere, I want to be on Twitter. That is a great place for attention right now. So it's a great place for ads too. I'm trying to tell my brands that, but they're still too scared. But I'm trying to tell my brands like, hey, right now, if you run ads on Twitter, like, oh my God, the CPMs are way lower because nobody wants to run ads. Relatively nobody. I mean, still a lot of ads running. Debatably more actually, but just the concept is low, so the price is low. Kind of weird how that works. You get it on a premium and it's probably fine, so hey, if it's not fine, we'll pull them. But yeah, I don't know, trying to tell brands that, but they're not really getting it yet. But I understand, like, everybody's kind of afraid of the 7 day thing. But anyway, if Elon is gonna succeed, it's because nobody will ever shut up about him, and he's so good at marketing. He's so good, and I think that's where we're going. If Twitter does fail, it's probably going to fail eventually, some years to come, because of his debt problems. But Elon got Tesla out of debt. And the real, like, I'll leave you with this. I think the real outcome here is Elon probably just re-IPOs the company. Like, once he turns the media attention around, and you're like, how's he going to do that? He did it with Tesla. Like, the Tesla is really negative. Everybody hated Tesla. Everybody said they're never going to penetrate the EV market. Nobody else succeeded. All these other car companies had EVs. Nobody cares. He did it with Tesla. It became super cool to own a Tesla. Now it's not again today at the time of this recording. but it became super cool. It was super cool to own a Tesla. Everybody did it. And I think he'll do the same with Twitter. I think he'll prove that the platform becomes open discourse. People will like stop doomsdaying it. And over time, the sentiment will change and advertisers will become more comfortable with it. And then as a result, he'll just re-IPO and everybody will buy in because of the memes. And then he'll pay off the debt with your money. That's what's going to happen, I think. And the only real question is, are the banks going to give him the timeline to do that? And we don't really know because we don't know the bank's payment terms. And they're probably pretty generous because Elon's shown that he can handle massive amounts of debt. And hey, I mean, if it comes down to it, he can sell Tesla shares, pay stuff off of Twitter. It really comes down to how committed he is. But like a full shutdown of Twitter doesn't seem likely. I just don't see it, man. All right. That's the video. I'm Devin Nash. Thanks. Again, Patreon and Discord if you want to support me. Otherwise, just thanks for being here. Appreciate you watching the video, especially the whole way through. All right, that's it. Bye.